This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by ChristianAudio.com. Listeners of the Gospel Coalition podcast can get 50% off of their audiobook or audio Bible purchases from Christian Audio for a limited time. Browse ChristianAudio.com and use discount code TGC50 at checkout before this offer ends on September 30th, 2016. This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen. Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with TGC Council members Ryan Kelly, Vermone Pierre, and Mike Bullmore. They talk about the difficult question of how to forgive someone who hasn't repented.
So one of the questions that comes up not infrequently in the Christian life, and this is by no means unique to pastoral ministry or ministry in general, it's something that all of us as believers deal with. I think it can be exacerbated in ministry at times, but this question of are we obligated, are we supposed to forgive people if they have not repented of their sin against us? What is our responsibility as Christians to those who have sinned, have not repented? What is forgiveness like? What's the call for forgiveness look like in that situation? So,
well, perhaps
Ryan,
we
some
should.
Thoughts? Yeah.
Perhaps we should first not assume that we've been sinned against,
right,
and we are the only one sinned against, and we have not sinned against them.
Right.
So that's very important, right? To know what we're dealing with when we have relational tensions or divisions among us.
So some sober self-assessment,
right?
And probably not in private, asking somebody else to kind of weigh in to get a good sense of, okay, how have I contributed to this?
Yeah, be self-suspicious, but eventually we might get to a point where we say,
right,
my conscience is clear before the Lord,
right?
And I believe they have sinned against me.
And doesn't seem to be repentance there. Now what?
Yeah.
Now what?
Well, I think it's important to frame it in terms of two categories. There's forgiveness and there's, you might say, reconciliation, right? Restored relationship. Those are two different things. I think the Bible would compel us towards always having an attitude of forgiveness by which we are letting go of the bitterness we might hold and resentment that we hold, in which we are able to look upon someone and realize that whether in the cross of Jesus Christ or one day in the final judgment, God is going to take care of any hurts that were committed against us. I mean, that sort of spirit and attitude of forgiveness is very important. And that takes time. I don't want to be empathetic to people. That takes time to do that and to build that. That being said, if there's no repentance, then there can't be really restored relationship. There can't be reconciliation. You might say one person is going halfway, but the other person who's done the sin, in some ways, they need to repentance requires them to admit their sin so that they can meet that other person in the middle and have reconciliation. If that does, if that's not there, then yeah, that there's the relationship isn't fully restored.
Yeah, you mentioned something, Vermone, that I think is so important for us, this gospel grounding, that at some point all will be reconciled. Yeah. And so the freedom that gives us to adopt this readiness, this posture of forgiveness, I've always been so helped by the verse in Romans, you know, insofar as it depends on you. In fact, even before that, it says, if possible, insofar as it depends on you, be at peace. I just love the realism of that because it tells you, yeah, you bear responsibility to forgive, but the complete transaction is not always within your control. So if possible, insofar as it depends on you, be at peace.
Right.
With all.
Yeah.
You know?
And love covers a multitude of sins.
Right.
If we actually went hunting down every offense against us and demanding repentance in order for there to be reconciliation, it'd be hopeless.
Right.
Our churches would disintegrate.
Right.
But we can cover a multitude of sins. We can bear with one another.
Wonderful.
Put up with one another is one way of translating that.
Yeah.
Right? And yet, indeed, sometimes there is a breach in the relationship. And there is repentance that's needed for restoration to take place.
Yeah, those verses are in our Bibles for a reason, right? Bear with one another, and then actually forgive one another, because there's going to be a lot of offenses. But those verses that seem to speak of, there's room for us to overlook, to cover, to extend mercy and grace. Yeah.
And the other side of it is that sometimes it is required of us to truly seek restoration and call a brother or sister to repent.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just simply cover all the sins. I mean, Matthew 18 is in the Bible. It's not just 1 Corinthians 13. So we need to do those hard things of having hard conversations and not simply pretending like the sins are not there.
And that's for the sake of that other person. I mean, they have a broken relationship with the Lord to the degree in which they continue in a spirit of unrepentance. By God's grace, you're appealing to the Holy Spirit within them to respond to the sin. And if they're sensitive to the Spirit, they'll repent at some point. But in all this, I want to be empathetic. I mean, there's some sins that are incredibly hard. I've been thinking of abuse and other situations like that as well. And so I'm always empathetic to the degree in which I recognize it's a long process. Even in the worst sins, I want people to let go of bitterness and hurt. I mean, that locks them in. But I also know there's consequences as well. And building trust when trust is broken, it takes a long time to fix. There can be repentance and forgiveness. Because I think of the world that we live in, reconciliation can take a whole long time, and maybe we need the new heavens and new earth to really fully restore it.
Right. I think that is a good word, because sometimes we can take these Bible verses and try to apply them too quickly and almost wield them as weapons, and not realizing that there are kinds of hurt and degrees of hurt that will take time.
Yes.
And God is patient. I mean, aren't we grateful for the patience of God in our own lives? And for us to kind of demand some unrealistic timetable of somebody else in terms of their repentance or in terms of the things necessary for them to come to a place. You know, there's this wonderful verse at the end of Ephesians 4, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, and then it's just as God in Christ forgave you. And so I think that's not just Jesus, or God did it in Jesus, you do it too, but there's a model there for us. So how can I be reflecting the heart of God toward me as I look at a brother who's or a sister who's sinned against me?
And that's the source, isn't it, for the power to forgive or the motivation to forgive. Sometimes it feels as though forgiveness is impossible, and the only hope maybe of forgiving someone who's really sinned against us is looking to the cross, looking at the forgiveness that God has given us and the great sin that we have caused, that we have sinned against Him.
Right. So it gives both hope, a model for us as well, and a reminder of what we've received. So may we reflect God's heart.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.